Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
At the end of the day, I put my son to sleep and I went to bed. And I remember my phone going off and it was my father. There's been an accident, your mom's okay, the ambulance is on the way. And I was like, whoa. And I just ran out the door. I lived right next door. I had no idea what happened until I got over there. As soon as I walked in, you could see right here, she was laying on the bed. The blood was just all over the floor, the side of the bed.
Where's your dad at this time?
He was on the phone somewhere, maybe downstairs, and I couldn't really see what he was doing. And then I grabbed a towel off the floor and I held a towel on her head. I just remember yelling to him to please help me, and I remember asking her, please, Mom, just like squeeze my hand.
Did your mom respond to you?
No.
Do you remember asking him what happened?
Not that night. At one point, I remember him saying he was putting the gun away under the bed, and she sat down and the gun went off.
Did you know at the time that he had also been shot?
I remember his hand being wrapped up. I didn't know if he was just holding a towel or what he was holding.
He had shot through his hand when he shot my mom. He just said it was like this freak accident. And we thought like, well, who's gonna shoot themselves?
He never wavered from the story that it was an accident.
And Trooper PJ McGurran, we're here at the residence with the homeowner, Bruno Rakuba.
Why do you think your father was so open about talking with the police?
I think he was trying to prove that he was innocent.
So we were both in bed and I reached over, I grabbed it. My wife was sitting on the bed on that side. I was on this side, and I pulled the trigger by accident.
My sister, Melissa, died Saturday morning. I'm worried about the girls. Their mother is gone.
My dad, everyone felt horrible for him. That's his wife of 25 years.
I just lost my mom, and I was probably gonna lose my dad.
Did you expect that your father would be charged with something?
I thought maybe negligent homicide because he was negligent with a gun.
I just went like this.
He didn't spend a single night in jail.
And not every shooting is a crime. You really do look at circumstances. But apparently they did, and they were convinced that they couldn't prove a case.
I was reviewing all of the open case homicides, and this one caught my attention, and we just went down that rabbit hole of putting all the pieces together.
And the alarm bells went off when I saw a surveillance system in evidence. No one had looked at this.
This is the last time she's ever seen.
That time of year, their window was open, so you could also pick up sound from inside of the bedroom as well.
We were able to hear their last conversation together. And then a gunshot goes off.
There's so many twists and turns. And this is the story for generations that we have to tell. And that's pretty sad.
Anne-Marie Green reports Melissa Rakuba's final moments.
On a steamy August night in 2013, Melissa Rakuba was airlifted to this hospital, still clinging to life, with a bullet wound to her head. Her then 22-year-old daughter, Chelsea, was already there when the helicopter arrived.
I had no idea how I got down there. I was just panicked and frantic.
Her sister, Sabrina, who lives in Wisconsin, sped to the airport in tears.
It was just a lot of me just praying to God that my mom was going to be okay.
Melissa's sister, Joanne, and their father, then a police sergeant in another county, raced to Melissa's bedside.
It's a few hours of driving.
Not that night. We got there really fast.
Bruno was being treated at a different hospital, where specialists operated on his hand.
He had a hole through the middle of his hand.
Pennsylvania State Police detectives wanted to know how the bullet went through Bruno's palm and hit Melissa in the head.
Got home from work at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Less than 15 hours after the shooting, with Bruno's hand freshly bandaged and Melissa on life support, detectives asked Bruno to walk them through his house and explain what happened after the couple arrived home from a night out with friends.
And we came home just before 10. And after that, we went downstairs, washed up, and came up to go to bed.
Using a toy gun provided by police, Bruno demonstrated how he claims his .40 caliber pistol went off accidentally.
My wife was home alone all last week, so I left in top drawer on the nightstand for her because of recent break-ins.
He said their grandson was coming over the next day, and he wanted to safely store the gun.
I went to check the chamber to see if there was a round in there.
Okay.
Sitting on the mattress, still stained with his wife's blood, Bruno tried to show them what happened.
I went like this, and she was sitting in the bed there. And I went like this, and she was watching TV. And I just went like this, and she leaned back toward me, and I must have pulled it away and then shot through my hand.
Earlier, investigators had gone through the house, shooting video of the scene and collecting evidence, and didn't note any signs of a struggle. Hospital staff found no other injuries on Melissa, and Bruno said they had been getting along just fine.
Any discussions or any arguments or anything before that happened?
No.
Okay.
He looked me in my face and said, "We walked in the house holding hands. There was no arguments that night."
Jack Wilcheski and his wife Tanya were out to dinner with Bruno and Melissa that evening, and he says everything seemed fine.
No arguing?
No arguing, no nothing. They were fine that night.
The day after the shooting, Bruno agreed to a polygraph exam. According to police records, the results were inconclusive. Worried about her father, Chelsea says she suggested he speak with attorney Joe DeAndrea.
Did you wonder why he was calling you?
Well, I'm a fairly well-known criminal defense lawyer around, and police had talked to him without my participation or knowledge. I guess he was curious if there was anything he had to worry about.
Melissa spent several days in intensive care.
I remember talking to the neurologist, and I was like, there's got to be something you can do. And they were just trying to calm me down and tell me that there's no hope.
3 days after the shooting, Melissa's family made the agonizing decision to take her off life support.
We knew she was suffering.
It was August 10th, 2013, at 1:45 a.m., when Melissa passed away. Joanne says they were all in shock, and even though no one in the family wanted to believe Bruno had deliberately shot Melissa, they were surprised when he was never arrested.
My grandfather said, if that happened in Bucks County, where my grandfather was a police, he was like, your dad would have instantly been in cuffs. He was like, he didn't spend a single night in jail. which is really weird.
Joe DeAndrea says the district attorney's office felt they didn't have enough evidence to charge Bruno with murder and decided not to charge him at all.
They were convinced that they couldn't prove a case.
Melissa's death certificate listed her cause of death as a gunshot wound to the head. The manner of death was left pending.
And no one said to you, we've concluded it was an accident?
No, it was just still an open case.
But as the family began to catch their breath and process Melissa's death, they slowly started comparing notes about Bruno's version of what happened and his behavior before and after the shooting. And a case for murder began to unfold.
I couldn't justify any of his stories.
Losing weight is one thing. But keeping it off, that's where it gets really frustrating. That's why Weight Loss by Hers now offers access to the FDA-approved Wegovy pill and the FDA-approved Wegovy pen. Wegovy is designed to help you lose weight and keep it off. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips, like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/48hours to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/48hours. forhers.com/48hours. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
The daughters of Melissa and Bruno Recuba say they grew up believing they had the ideal family.
So did all my friends. I remember my best friends were like, your family's so loving and happy and you guys do everything together.
I always wanted my sister's life. She had the kids, she had the marriage, the good guy.
The couple met in the summer of 1988. Back then, Melissa, who was just 19 years old, was a police officer. Bruno, 22, was enlisted in the Navy.
And what did you think of Bruno when you met him?
I loved him. He seemed to love my sister. She loved being a wife and she loved being a mother.
She was an amazing mom.
And Bruno was a great dad, says Sabrina.
My dad was wonderful. I mean, I can't complain about him as a dad.
We went hunting together. We went fishing together. When I was really young, I wanted to cut my hair to be like my dad. Like, that's how close we were.
But as the girls grew older and became parents themselves, they say they began to see flaws in their parents' marriage.
We had moved in there, me and my ex-husband, with my parents when my daughter was about 9 months old. And it was like all the time, they were constantly arguing. The breaking point was when they got really drunk one night and my dad grabbed her by the back of the hair and he whipped her into the wall. It made a really loud thud and she couldn't breathe. I was like, we can't stay here anymore. This isn't healthy. I tried talking to my mom and she was just like, well, everybody has like disagreements. And like she downplayed, she never wanted to talk bad about our dad to us.
2 weeks before the shooting, Chelsea says her mother shared a startling secret about something Bruno had done to her.
She took me for a ride in the car and told me, you know, that he had pulled a gun on her before.
My mom told my sister that my mom didn't want to have sex with my dad one night. And my dad pulled a gun on my mother over this.
Why would she tell me this now? She's never said a bad word about him before, and all of a sudden it was, Chelsea, I just need you to know that, like, your dad's not always who you think he is.
Chelsea admits that she had a bad feeling about her mother's shooting from the start, but stayed silent for the sake of her father.
I didn't want to just say something that would have put him in jail if he really didn't do it.
Joanne says she also had her doubts about her sister's death because just months before the shooting, Melissa told her she wanted out of her marriage.
She was questioning things and asked how she would be able to do it on her own.
Was Bruno controlling?
Very. My sister couldn't go anywhere without him knowing her every move.
Joanne says it wasn't long after Melissa's death when her mind began to race.
I started playing back everything that I could remember.
For starters, says Joanne, Bruno spent very little time by his wife's side as she lay dying.
He would come there, maybe stay like an hour, and then leave. And when she died, he wasn't there. He was at the house.
Chelsea says her father's behavior began to haunt her as well. For instance, just hours after the shooting, Chelsea says her father asked her to bring him her mother's cell phone, which had not been collected by police. She says her father wanted to erase a few text messages that he feared investigators might take the wrong way.
It was like, I don't want them to think anything. Because of like a little like argument or something they had, maybe it was that week or day.
Did that strike you as odd at the time?
It did, but you don't want to believe it.
With their mother still in intensive care and with the police finished collecting evidence, the girls say their father had another strange request.
He asked us to get rid of the mattress.
Bruno asked his girls to clean his house and get rid of the blood-stained mattress.
He's like, I can't go home to that. I don't want to see all the blood. And here I am, 21, 22. Now as an adult, I'm like, wow, I can't believe he asked us to do that. But I just kept going and I kept wanting to make sure he was okay.
We were so concerned because he kept making comments that he was going to take his own life, that he couldn't deal with this.
How did you get rid of that mattress?
We took it in the back of a truck and we burned it in the woods.
Chelsea and Sabrina say that before their mother was even buried, their father asked for help purging all traces of her.
He wanted us to get rid of everything. It's like he wanted her erased.
Oh, my sister's clothes. We had to go down to the thrift store where they donated the clothes, and I had to get clothes for my sister to bury her in.
Bruno even got rid of Melissa's dog, Zeus.
My mom loved that dog, and my dad got rid of him. Right after my mom died.
It wasn't long before Joanne says she began to suspect that Bruno had another motive for erasing the memory of Melissa.
My sister's best friend said that Bruno contacted her not too long after my sister had passed away and said, how long do you think it is before, you know, you can kind of like go public with dating someone? And she said, are you freaking kidding me? And he was dead serious.
Bruno was talking about Tanya Wilcheski, Jack Wilcheski's wife, the couple that Bruno and Melissa were out to dinner with on the night of the shooting.
We were together 15 years at that time.
Jack says he has no idea when the relationship began, but says he started noticing a big difference in his wife's relationship with Bruno the day after the shooting, when he walked into Melissa's hospital room and found Tanya and Bruno.
I thought they were kissing. Of course, they said they were talking to each other's ear, but they were embraced with each other.
Jack says in the weeks after the shooting, he would often come home from work and find Bruno's car in his driveway.
And after a couple times, I was like, why are you coming here? Why? Can you wait till I get home at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock?
And how did Tanya explain it?
Of course, they always made me out like I was the fool. I was seeing things I didn't see.
Within months of Melissa's death, Jack says his wife went missing from their home, and he knew exactly where to find her.
I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning and she wasn't there. So I'm thinking, go to Bruno's house. I went and pulled out in front and I blew the horn, and she come walking out with her purse with barely any clothes on. Got in her car, drove to our house, packed her bags and moved in with him, right there.
Chelsea now had a new neighbor, Tanya Wilcheski.
I remember looking out my window and she was cooking Christmas dinner in my mom's kitchen. I wasn't invited.
Chelsea says she forced herself to accept what was because she didn't want her father to be alone. Then, about a year and a half later, she says her father casually revealed an alarming new detail about her mother's shooting.
I kind of always knew and I didn't want to believe it, but when I heard it come from his own mouth, I couldn't get past it.
As the months ticked on, it was now 2015, about a year and a half since Bruno Recuba had allegedly accidentally shot and killed his wife, Melissa. His daughter Chelsea says she was still struggling with her father's relationship with Tanya Wilcheski.
I had to live here. I had to see her. She cut her hair like my mom. She would go get her nails done like my mom. She sat on my mom's front porch in my mom's chair.
With the passage of time, she says she finally had the courage to ask her father for an explanation about his actions on the night of the shooting, and says she got an astonishing answer.
He said, I didn't mean to kill her. I just tried to scare her.
Chelsea says that Bruno changed his story and admitted that he and Melissa had been arguing the night of the shooting. The gun, he said, was just meant to frighten her. Then Chelsea says her father abruptly changed the subject.
He said he had groceries in the car, and he turned around and walked out like he hadn't just said what he said to me. That's when I knew he actually held a gun to my mom on purpose, and I couldn't ever look at him the same.
Chelsea says she spent months agonizing about what to do next, and then told her father she was going to share their conversation with investigators.
And he was like, go ahead, anything you tell them, I'll ruin your credibility and nobody will believe you.
Chelsea says she was now determined and went down to the state police barracks and filled out a report, which included information about the incident she says her mother shared not long before her death, about that time Bruno threatened her with a gun when she refused to be intimate with him.
It took a lot for you to go down there. What were you hoping would have happened?
I was hoping they would have reopened it.
And what actually happened?
Nothing happened.
Chelsea recalls being told that it was her word against her father's, and she says an investigator suggested her coming forward could have been motivated by money.
And at that point, I had no idea I was even entitled to my mom's inheritance.
Melissa left behind a will and over $300,000 meant to be divided between her husband and daughters. But not long after Melissa's death, Bruno had his daughter sign paperwork that gave him complete control of their mother's estate.
He had sent me a paper in the mail, said, do not look at it. Go get this notarized and signed and send it back to me, which I did. I didn't question it. It's my dad.
Sabrina says she knew she was signing away her rights to the money, but felt pressured to do it.
He was so good at manipulating me and making me feel guilty.
Chelsea signed those same papers, but says she was in shock and didn't understand the consequences.
That hurt. That he would take from us, and especially from his grandson.
The sisters say they began to wonder if money had been the motive for their mother's shooting. But without police action, they felt they had to move on.
So I kind of started letting it go.
Chelsea says she even let her son Greg build a bond with his grandfather.
I hated him for taking my mom from me, but I loved how good he was to my son.
4 years later, in 2020, Corporal Greg Allen was assigned to investigate open cases for the Pennsylvania State Police and says this case caught his eye.
What about this case stood out to you?
To me, it was the original 911 call.
What's the problem there? a gunshot wound to my wife.
On the 911 call, I hear three different accounts of what happened.
Okay, was it self-inflicted?
No, we were fighting.
He says, we were fighting.
When questioned, Bruno quickly changed his story.
You said you guys were arguing?
No, we were playing around with the gun, and we were shooting it. We were going to go shooting, and I pulled the trigger and it went through my hand.
He also offered this version.
I was playing with the gun, and I let it go off.
Bruno knew his way around guns, says Corporal Allen. So why would he have his finger on the trigger of a gun that was loaded?
This is the gun that was used.
Crime Unit Supervisor Corporal Dan Nylon was asked by Corporal Allen to examine all the evidence, beginning with Bruno's police interview.
I grabbed it. My wife was sitting on the bed on that side. I was on this side. I went to check the chamber to see if there was a round in there.
Okay.
My wife leaned back toward me. Maybe she didn't know I was doing it. And I pulled the trigger by accident, or else I let the slide go and it discharged.
There were so many red flags that we knew he wasn't telling the truth.
To begin with, says Corporal Nylon, if Bruno was really trying to clear the gun's chamber, he would have ejected the magazine.
The first thing you're going to do when you unload the gun is drop the magazine out of it.
There were also two safeties on the gun. Corporal Nylon showed us just how hard it is to discharge the weapon accidentally.
So your grip, your hand would have to be on the grip. Additionally, there is a trigger safety. There is a small piece of the trigger that has to be depressed in order for the gun to fire. So both things need to occur.
There were also questions about where Bruno and Melissa were sitting when the fatal shot was fired.
Yeah. I went like this and she was sitting in the bed there.
So you see the way that he's holding the gun. He is pointing it to the opposite side of the bed.
But Nylon and Allen say there was blood and ballistics evidence on the wall behind Bruno.
Directly behind him.
So the evidence is here and here.
Everything is behind him right now.
But he says he shot this way.
Correct.
They would need DNA testing and a forensic expert to confirm their suspicions that Bruno was lying. But in the meantime, Corporal Nylon found a key piece of evidence that he says no one had ever examined. Video and audio from the night of the shooting, recorded on a home security system. Turns out that a security camera mounted on the front of the house had recorded Melissa Rakuba's last words.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service. Real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
These are the final images of Melissa Rakuba, recorded on this home security camera and this DVR. Dan Nylon says when he first discovered the recording, he could see Melissa and her husband Bruno arriving home from their night out. But it was difficult to make out most of what they were saying.
I remember sitting in our office with the door closed, headphones on, the office refrigerator unplugged, trying to get as many words as I could.
Greg Allen says that one thing was clear.
There was definitely an argument that happened between them.
Allen says the original investigators told him they had no way to review the recording because they didn't have access to the necessary technology. But Allen's team did and could now see that the recording begins in the driveway where you can hear the couple arguing.
What?
But it doesn't seem to end there. Once inside the house, it sounds like they're still arguing, says Allen.
That time of year, their window was open, so you could also pick up sound audio from inside as well.
The sound was just much harder to hear. But with Bruno's changing stories and possible evidence of an argument, investigators were now treating Melissa Rakuba's death as a possible murder.
This is the last time she's ever seen.
Dan and I have been doing this a long time, and we saw that, and the evidence speaks for itself.
Then Lackawanna County District Attorney Mark Powell agreed.
My gut reaction was, this is probably a case that should have been charged back in 2013, and I can only guess that they thought it didn't warrant charges because he shot himself through the hand.
Because who would purposely shoot themselves in the hand?
Sure.
With Powell's team now on board, Melissa's family was informed that the case was once again active.
I was like, this is different. They are very, very sure about themselves that this was a crime. My dad did this on purpose.
Chelsea says she now had mixed feelings about her relationship with her father.
I live next door, so my son's very close with him. It's not black and white.
Investigators then sent a portion of the DVR recording to an FBI crime lab for enhancement.
I remember thinking, the chances of this helping us are probably slim because this system is old.
DNA testing was also ordered on some of the blood evidence, and a forensic expert was hired to help determine how the shooting took place.
We retained the services of Dr. Wayne Ross, who's a highly respected forensic pathologist and a blood pattern expert.
About a month later, the enhanced DVR audio was back, and Dan Nylon says it was clear the couple had been arguing right up until the moment the gun went off.
What do you hear on that tape?
Lots of curses back and forth, yelling, screaming.
It's still hard to make out every word, but the official police transcript notes that Bruno and Melissa can be heard cursing and calling each other names. The transcript also notes the sound of a dog barking. Then Melissa shouts, "I didn't do anything." Listen closely. Nearly 30 minutes after they first pulled into the driveway, Melissa told Bruno that he had to leave because of something he'd previously done hundreds of times, said Melissa. A bit later, Melissa can be heard talking. Then it sounds like things are being thrown. Just seconds later, the gun goes off.
It was not an accident. They were fighting the entire time, and then a gunshot goes off.
Joanne says she hasn't been able to listen to the recording, but has read the transcript.
I was horrified. Of course I cried. And I can picture my sister yelling at him and screaming it, and those very last few moments, realizing that this is it.
Oh,
Also horrifying is the sound of Chelsea screaming after her father called her over and she first discovered her mother. She says she doesn't remember questioning her father that night, but she did.
Dad, why did this happen?
And Bruno's answer gave police yet another version of his story.
She came home, she wanted to take the gun out and play, and I told her, no, we're not doing that.
He implied that Melissa had been the one holding the gun.
You want to go shoot?
No. No,
she's all right. I know.
A little over 2 weeks later, Mark Powell says forensic expert Dr. Wayne Ross confirmed what Greg Allen and Dan Nylon had suspected about how all the blood got on the wall behind Bruno.
It's very clear that he was on top of his wife, that he was using his hand to hold her and threaten her with a gun.
And so where do you say Bruno was at that time?
Almost in the middle of the bed.
Turned around,
facing the headboard.
The theory is that Melissa tried to escape Bruno's grip, and there was a struggle.
And through a struggle, his hand gets loose. He fires the gun at the same time.
There's blood evidence that starts here and travels in a right to left pattern, and that is Bruno's blood. And the only way that that could be explained is if Bruno did a motion like this with his hand after the bullet struck it.
I don't know how you have an accidental shooting when you're standing over your wife with a gun threatening to shoot her and you discharge a bullet by pulling the trigger. So in my world, that's not accidental. That's murder with malice.
What do you think your sister would say about all of this?
Oh, if she was here. She would say, lock his ass up and get away from my kids and my grandkids.
On June 2nd, 2022, a warrant was issued for Bruno's arrest. Chelsea says her father was well aware and well prepared.
He had guns all over. His nightstand was all pictures of my mom. They were never there.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
On the morning of June 3rd, 2022, two Pennsylvania State Police troopers followed Bruno Rakuba on his way to work.
Yeah, he's looking for a good spot to pull over.
Corporal Greg Allen says they weren't taking any chances with Rakuba's arrest.
Chelsea said he had a lot of guns. Were you concerned something could go wrong?
Whenever you have an arrest warrant in your hand, do you try to take every precaution that you can?
Jefferson Medrano, just start heading north on 171.
In the end, they pulled Rakuba over in a traffic stop on his way to work.
Who got your license plate out here?
Where? What?
Yeah. All right, hold up, right here. Hey, you have a gun? Any guns on
no,
you?
No.
All right,
no.
Put your hands behind your back.
Okay.
It was June 3rd, 2022, nearly 9 years after Melissa's death, and Rakuba was charged with her murder. There was also a charge of theft for the money prosecutors say he took from his daughters.
And he lawyered up.
Lawyered up right away.
Within a few minutes.
Chelsea, who was still feeling conflicted, decided to help her father pay his legal bills.
I loved him. I didn't want it to be worse.
Rukuba once again hired Joe DeAndrea and pled not guilty.
Is Bruno still telling you the same story?
He never wavered from his story that it was an accident.
But DeAndrea says he was now seeing and hearing the evidence for the first time, and says there was a lot to explain to a jury, like the various versions of Rukuba's stories.
I went like this, and she was sitting in the bed there.
All captured on tape.
Any discussions or any arguments or anything before that happened?
No.
The most challenging, says DeAndrea, that police walked through.
Now, if Bruno didn't make a statement, he probably would never have gotten charged.
Also concerning to DeAndrea was how a jury would feel about Rukuba's relationship with Tanya Wilczewski and the question of when it began.
Possible motive?
Oh, clearly. If not a motive, the jury sure wasn't going to like him for doing it.
Tanya Wilczewski declined our request for an interview, but sent this text saying there was never an affair. Bruno Rukuba never responded to our requests for an interview. But Joe DeAndrea says he was most concerned about how the jury would react to Melissa's final moments.
When you hear screaming and somebody shot, a jury could conclude you shot her on purpose. I didn't want to take any chance of being found guilty of a first-degree murder and spend the rest of his life in jail.
DeAndrea says he spent the next 2 years building his case around his best evidence, that bloody wound to his client's hand.
Who would put a bullet through their hand to kill somebody?
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, nothing at this time.
But in May 2024, 2 years after this arrest, as Rukuba's trial approached, both sides agreed to a plea deal, third-degree murder, and no charge of theft.
It wasn't that he intentionally killed Melissa. His actions were reckless.
Having a gun, drinking, bullet in the chamber, safeties off, in a pretty passionate argument.
That's a prescription for some bad stuff to happen, which did.
It may very well be your sister's own voice that ultimately put him behind bars.
I never really thought about it like that. Yeah.
On January 8th, 2025, Joanne attended Rukuba's sentencing hearing and read him her victim impact statement.
I looked at him first and made him look at me because I know it's like seeing a ghost because I look like my sister.
Cameras were not allowed in the courtroom.
Through all of this, you have never showed an ounce of remorse.
I will make. So Joanne shared her statement during our interview.
As far as what you did to your daughters, Bruno, you killed their mother. You tried to erase her existence, but you cannot erase her memories.
If there was a trial, would you have testified against him?
Yes.
You said that quickly.
Yeah, I would have. You know, my mom deserves justice, and my mom, she should be here.
Bruno Rukuba was sentenced to 12 to 40 years behind bars. With time served, Rukuba could be up for parole starting in 2035.
Now that he's gone, we can breathe a little bit better, but it doesn't change the hurt or the pain or what we have to work through as a family. And we'll revisit this in 10 more years. Because every single time he comes up for parole, I will be there to protest it.
Chelsea and Sabrina both say they have very mixed feelings about their father and what justice looks like.
He took someone's life, and it wasn't an accident. He doesn't deserve to get out. I want him to get out at the same time because I love him and I miss him.
Everybody's like, oh, we finally get justice. Good for you. I got justice for my mom, but now I just lost my father. My son lost his grandfather. and it's hard on my son. That's who I have to protect.
How are you keeping your mom's memory alive?
I have all of her pictures all over my fridge, and I tell my daughter how wonderful her grandmother was and how much my mom loved being a grandmother.
She cared about my son more than anything. She loved that little boy.
Where's Gammy? Where? Show me.
Right here.
And I think she wouldn't want my son to hurt the way that this has hurt him.
I want him to come back.
Me too.
Just weeks after our interview on March 10th, 2025, Chelsea says her son Greg was out riding his all-terrain vehicle when he collided with an SUV and died. He was just 13 years old. Another tragic loss for a family that had already lost so much.
It's something that you read in a book or see on TV, not your own life. It just doesn't feel like this should be our story as a family.
This is Dr. Mary Claire Haver from Unpaused. Let's be honest. Great hair should not require a complicated routine, a salon visit, or a whole lot of patience just to get smooth, shiny results. Too many women have been settling for dull, frizzy hair and thinking, that's just how it goes at home. It doesn't have to be. Introducing Longe Hair, an easier, more effective way to elevate your everyday routine. Their Axia Halo Ring Hair Dryer is designed to make styling feel faster and simpler. It's lightweight, incredibly fast, and leaves hair looking sleek and polished instead of dry, frizzy, or puffy. The real magic happens when it's paired with the Gloss Shock Treatment. These two are designed to work together. Just spray Gloss Shock onto damp or dry hair. The dryer's heat activates the treatment, while its iconic technology seals in that smooth, mirror-like shine. The result is soft, glossy, frizz-free hair in just two easy steps without piling on extra products or spending extra time to get ready. Go to longehair.com and use the code MCH to get 20% off your first order. That's LANGEHAIR.com and use the code MCH for 20% off at checkout.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go. Try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.